It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We're back, quarter number two of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Dustin Hawkinsmith, Greg Pickle, coming back to you once again from the Labatt Blue Studio, Labatt Blue, and Labatt Blue Light, Bleed Blue and White, Drink Blue and Light. As discussed previously, we're going to start thinking about 2020 just a little bit. We've got plenty more on that front coming up. It's almost time to start thinking about blue-white and start previewing what we're expecting to see in that game. But for now, this was an interesting concept, I thought. Jimmy G thought of it, but just he thinks guys who need to step up in 2020. I think guys who are not non-obvious name category guys who you would like to see step into bigger roles. That's where I'm taking it and running with it. So we'll look at the offensive side a little bit later in the week. A couple of days from now, we will look on the defensive side too. But just players who maybe have some opportunity that wouldn't be the top one, two, three, four guys on your list, but could step into bigger roles. I will start the bidding because I know that's what you're waiting for me to do, Greg. But you look at the wide receiver position, it is ripe for someone in the non-obvious category to make a move up that depth chart. And that could mean a lot of different things. I mean, there are guys from all kinds of different walks of life there. I'm going to look a little bit further down than your Daniel George, than your Mac Hippenhammer, than your Cam Sullivan Brown. Those are all candidates to make a move forward, but I think this position could use a guy like John Dunmore to emerge, to have a big spring, to have gotten stronger. You know, at 6'1", 179, you would love to see him, maybe 187 to put on 6 or 8 pounds of muscle. But I think what he can do in the passing game is something that Penn State could really use moving forward. Somebody that can make tough catches, that can go up and get the ball and high point it, that can be a real factor on the perimeter. Somebody's going to have to move into something, and multiple somebodies, in fact, are going to have to move into roles that they've never played before at the wide receiver spots. You have a new offensive coordinator, somebody who had 2,000-yard wide receivers at Minnesota last year in Kirk Ciarrocca. You bring in Taylor Stubblefield, which, quite frankly, looking at his resume, I have no idea if he can coach wide receivers or not. I know he can play. I mean, if he had another year of eligibility, he'd probably be the number two wide receiver on the team, but can he coach these guys up? It's the ongoing question at this spot. But I would love to – if John Dunmore makes a move, Penn State's offense is better for it.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you at all there. And you just look at what he did. I remember watching him with Bob Flounders at the Under Armour All-American game a couple of years ago and just being really impressed by kind of what he looks like he can do. And I know that one of the things we both thought immediately was he wasn't as skinny as we maybe expected him to be based on what you saw from the recruiting services and how they had him listed and stuff. But there was still little doubt that he had to put some weight on while keeping his speed, of course, to be able to play in the Big Ten. So, I expect him to make a big jump from year one to year two. And, Jaden Dotton, a guy that came in this year, is another guy that'll be in that same kind of process, I guess you could say, here in 2020, which is that he needs to add weight too, but he gets on campus early to do it. So, yeah, Dunmore's a really interesting guy to me. I think he is a good pick. When you look, again, it kind of the idea here is to be a little bit, and I know you said you had a backup tight end coming, which is where I was considering going, but I'll go actually a different way here.
Go wherever you want, Greg.
Yeah. If that's the case, I'll just flip to the defense, but you got to come back later this week to get those answers. I look at the running back pitcher, and I don't know how you could call any of those guys under the radar, underrated, off the whatever, but Devin Ford, I think, kind of got lost in the shuffle a little bit this year just because Journey Brown, ended up taking off in such a big way, especially in the Cotton Bowl. Everyone wanted to talk about Noah Cain because every time he was on the field, good things happened. And it almost felt like a little bit that we forgot about Devin Ford and all the things he's capable of. But when he was on the field for Penn State, he was a tremendous asset to what they'll do here. And I don't envy Jaylon Sider. I don't envy Kirk Ciarrocca and having to figure out how to get those three guys now that Ricky Slade's gone on the field. But it won't be easy, of course. There's no doubt about that. But at the same time, I do think that there can be a bigger role for Ford in 2020. Unless, of course, and see, this is kind of the similar conversation we'll have on the defensive side of the ball and maybe at receiver as well, but we don't know. We no longer have a great feel for how the rotations at most of these positions are going to work. Offensive line is going to be the same thing. Matt Limegrover was dead set on, if we have six guys who we grade as starters, we're going to play all six of them. If we have seven, we're going to do that. You know, we know the receiver rotation tends to be fairly deep. Running back, they rotated guys, but that was Ricky Ronnie. What is Kirk Sciarra going to do? I think it's going to be a challenge maybe early on to predict how this is all going to play out with some of these guys a little bit further down the depth chart, because if Kirk Sciarra comes in and says, look, these are my four best receivers, these are my two best running backs, these are my five best offensive linemen, my best tight end, and obviously the quarterback, we're going to play those guys 95% of the snaps, and we might mix some other guys in for 5% of the snaps here and there, but we don't know if he's going to have that approach or if it'll be more of a Ronnie approach where, you know, he was much more willing, I think, to kind of mix and match the pieces during games and even during drives.
See, I think we can sort of, I think when it comes to the philosophy of how deep you go and how frequently you rotate, I think that's bigger than Kirk Sciarra. You know, I think that's bigger than the position coaches. I think that's a philosophy for James Franklin that is going to continue, because you, and you can start to kind of feel it now. Just imagine if, you know, and looking at the right guard spot last year, imagine if they didn't give CJ Thorpe or Mike Miranda as many reps. Would you feel as good about those guys both coming back now? So getting the number of reps that they get is such a good, it's such a beneficial thing in terms of stability, continuity, longer term with your program. You have more guys in better position to take another step forward as a result. I think the running back rotation is going to be four oars again. I think you're going to have Journey Brown at the top of it. I think Noah Kane and Devin Ford will have a legitimate battle for that sort of number two position. But I think that's always going to be a fluid concept. I think not wishing anything upon anybody, but you look at running styles, there's a good chance that Noah Kane gets dinged more than your average running back, because he's a guy who embraces contact, who runs between the tackles, who isn't afraid to kind of put his shoulder down and get that extra yard or two. That's a little bit taxing. Devin Ford is a guy who has a more elusive style, and it's not saying one is necessarily better than the other, but the durability favors the guy who can avoid taking big hits. I think there's going to be a chance for Devin Ford to have he's going to have his opportunity this year. Whether that's at Noah Kane's expense, whatever. But I think the tendency we started to see, I think we're going to see seven offensive linemen play again.
I hope not.
I think we're absolutely going to see that. And you know, they like when you like, what do you do when you like Des Holmes doesn't have a home? What do you do when you like Caden Wallace? He doesn't have a home.
Right. I mean, I think
these are guys who deserve some, and not, I don't think it's going to be this guy starts. But I think you're going to see larger portions of snaps for guys like those.
Yeah. It's a shame that it's hard to get full college football snap counts, because I cannot prove my suspicion, other than what I think. But I just, you know, to me, it just feels like get your five offensive line. If you want to mix some guys in, especially during the non-conference slate, fine. But it just feels like it feels too disjointed to do this whole 6-7 offensive lineman thing. If a guy's not good enough to win a home, that's a problem in its own right. And you make a fair point about the reps for especially Miranda and Thorpe now that they appear to be set to go into starting roles. But I just like the idea of let's get our five. They are our best players for a reason. Because to me, when you have seven starters, that means you don't have five. And when you don't have five, you may not win in the biggest moments and the best teams you play against. But
I think every coach in America wants seven or eight offensive linemen who have
agreed
sizable experience,
but to play all of them as much as Penn State did, it just seems like it's a detriment. But then again, what do I know? So anyway,
there's a fine line, probably.
Tight end, Brenton Strange.
I'm looking at Theo Johnson.
Okay,
I love him. I love his game. I love his frame. I think he can go both ways. Now, you know, being a year behind Brenton Strange, you know, are we overlooking Zach Kuntz? One of these three guys is going to make their move, and probably odds favor the player who has been on campus a little bit longer. Could that be Zach Kuntz? Zach Kuntz, as we're talking about make or break type players, like he's in a position now where he's either got to take a step forward above Brenton Strange or risk being swallowed up by that tight end depth chart. That's just a fact. I'm not rooting one way or the other, but Zach Kuntz, it's time for him to either make that move or risk never making that move. But I think Theo Johnson can be a real factor in this conversation. He's got to have a big, he's got to be healthy with that shoulder and all that, and probably have a big spring, big summer to get there. But he is a phenomenal athlete.
I think the concern for me as it relates to Theo Johnson is we haven't seen him obviously go through the kind of football, American football centric football. You know, what I'm trying to say here is that he comes from Canada. He has dominated everywhere he's been, whether it's been in pads, out of pads, in Canada, in the States, whatever. It needs to be said, I think, that I'm not sure if he's had as much preparation for what he's about to face. Not just maybe not on the workout side of things, because you can replicate that, of course. But once you put the pads on and you're looking at plays and things like that, if he jumps forward in the spring, that's going to tell you all I need to know. I mean, if he comes in after just 3 months on campus and makes major strides towards being a number two tight end, it's probably over for both Brenton Strange and Zach Kuntz. Because I think Theo Johnson, while extremely talented, the number three tight end in the country for a reason, is working with some detriments, not his fault, just for where he's from and what his background is and everything else, that may be challenging for a true freshman to overcome just 3 months into his college career. So if he surges to the top that quickly, those guys are obviously, you know, it's going to be, I think, tough to get on the field. But yeah, Brenton Strange interests me as well. I liked what we saw from him, the little bit that we did see from him in 2019. He showed some positive things. He looks like he's adding the weight well. So he'll be fun to watch. And then I guess, you know, with what, 10 seconds left here, I look at that's an inside joke that unfortunately sometimes we run the clock a little bit long in these segments.
Inside jokes always play on radio. They always play.
The one other guy I'll be really interested in, you mentioned him a second ago, but, you know, Keenan Wallace is getting all this buzz. Can he get past Mike Miranda or CJ Thorpe for a starting job? Can he find a way to get onto the field? And then beyond that, Dustin, which one of the guys that are under the radar could out battle Will Fries for that right tackle job? I don't think it's out of the question.
I wanted to ask that same question. I think between Dez Holmes, I think Caden Wallace, ideally, he's a tackle. He can go. He might be a swing player, one way or the other. But I don't think it's outside the realm of possibility. If it's not in the summer, maybe it's midway through the year, something like that. That is a possibility. Will Fries, there, you can upgrade that spot, frankly. On Theo Johnson, Greg hates Canada. Let's just let the record show there. But reports are unfounded that he was catching passes from a moose on a Zamboni. So we don't know about that yet. We'll look into it. For now, we're going to take a quick break, talk some Penn State hoops with Jeff Brown.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross-check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change. Which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
The Blue White game is coming soon, and GoPSURV.com has you covered with their best deals ever. RVs for the weekend starting at just $500. Even better, whatever you spend on the spring game can be used as a credit for any game in the fall. Spend the weekend in a luxury RV. Enjoy 409 Tailgate Club Barbecue and a free bus ride to and from the stadium. Go to GoPSURV.com or call Mark at 800-519-8467 for all the details.